providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. Looking more at the macro environment, and hey, I do appreciate Jesse outlining just how much longer some of this market strength and economic strength has actually gone on for, longer than a lot of people have expected. We're going to shift focus a little bit in these final two segments, more individual sectors that we're going to focus on and some short-term trading strategies as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, first things first, I want to talk about the U.S. dollar because the U.S. dollar continues to show strength. We've known that that's been the story behind these markets, the strong dollar and rising rates this whole year. And as much as the dollar seems to go through 1 or 2 day kind of pullbacks, those seem to continue to be bought. And as we're talking, dollar's trading right around that 113 level. A lot of people have their eyes on that 120 level, but we do need to understand that the dollar hasn't been this high since around the 2001 to 2002 region. Dana, do we get another push higher in the dollar from here? And do you think 120 is possible?
Yeah, it's certainly possible, Corey. The trend is certainly relentless right now, and you don't want to fight the trend unless you have an overwhelmingly compelling reason to do so. We always want to be on the side of the trend. So we are long. We've been long all year. We have taken profits along the way. We're still looking for just above 115 to take some more money off the table as we continue to go more or less approaching parabolic, which in terms of the currency markets, those don't tend to be sustainable. As you know, it's more mean reverting, but we'll maintain a long position until the trend demonstratively reverses itself and stop out the rest of our position. But we've taken profits along the way. 115, I said, we'll take some more profits. And certainly that area outlined around 120, 121, which was the high back in about 20 years ago, that'll be another area to expect maybe a pause or maybe the end of this, at least this cyclical up move.
Yeah, Dana, the dollar has certainly been one of the stories of 2022. It's been about King Dollar and it's been a crowded trade. Another story this year, though, that relates and it ties into all the financial tinkering from the central banks is what we've seen in interest rates this year and in the bond market. And as we record this, you know, the 10-year is about 4.22. The 2-year is at 4.6, so we still have yield curve inverted. But what's your outlook on the rates and outlook on the bond market?
Sure. And we've talked about this for the last few years. We are very bearish on treasury bonds for the next several years or even decades. There's been a pretty consistent cycle going back hundreds of years in interest rates, about a 60-year cycle. And it bottomed, it topped out, obviously, in the early 80s. Was due to bottom out really over a decade ago, was that downtrend in yields was prolonged until a couple years ago. Our guess was that the lows reached that blow off top in bond prices and drop in yields in 2020 around the COVID lows was probably the end of the super cycle in bonds or that long-term cycle in bonds. So if the cycles, if the history of cycles is to repeat, we're probably going up for decades to come. So from a longer-term perspective, yeah, we'll be tending to lean on the short side in bonds and with an upward bias in bond yields for many years to come. And we've been short for much of the year. Now, that said, there are junctures along the way that, like I mentioned, the dollar, there'll be junctures where you might have a compelling reason to expect a counter trend move. And we think we're about at that juncture right now.
Dana, do you continue to see, at least in your models, that this yield curve remains inverted?
Yeah, and that continues to be the trend as well. We don't see any reason, any evidence to suggest that that's going to and imminently, you know, those are other things that tend to be cyclical. So that's not going to be the case forever. Right now, I don't see what ends that, at least the inversion of the curve. What I did allude to was the fact that from a long-term perspective, we are up into some resistance levels, for example, in the 10-year and 30-year, that would suggest to us or give us enough evidence for us to take a counter trend bet on the bond market right here. For example, if you go back to the top in the early 80s and the 10-year and 10-year yields up around 16%, the first real significant Fibonacci retracement level would be that 23.6 retracement from that the top in the 80s, early 80s to the bottom in 2020. And that would be right around here, just above 4%, maybe about 410, 411. So we're shooting above that marginally here. Might certainly a trend this strong, it's not unusual for it to overshoot, but it would not shock us. In fact, we are playing for it, for the rise in yields to at least take a breather here for a while. Even if we're correct in our bearish view that yields do go up for several decades or at least many years to come, it won't be a straight shot. And we're betting right now that at least we get some sort of a pause, some sort of a pullback in yields, which may alleviate some of the pressure in the financial markets. Maybe what it does to the yield curve, not sure. But we are taking a small bet on the bond market for a counter trend rally, at least.
Well, Dana, as far as the general markets, the strong dollar and the raging yields haven't been a friend. They've been a headwind. But we have seen things like the S&P break further down and break that June low now, make a new lower low. That was something you were calling for and looking for based on your models. How are you seeing the general market set up at this time? Do you think they may be geared up for at least a short-term bounce, or is there more pain to come?
Yeah, it's been a tricky couple of weeks because we were looking for an undercut of those June lows and then potentially a rally, at least a short-term rally. And that might still be in the works right here. Would not surprise us to try to attempt at least a short-term rally. You've got a number of things in the bull's favor right now, including a test of those June lows. Combine that with some sentiment readings that are, especially in the options market, where hedging activity is pretty much off the charts historically, and that's a real world. That's not like sometimes the surveys can be less than helpful, but when you have a real money indicator like out of the options market, where we're seeing tons of hedging going on, that's a real money gauge that indicates, okay, if we do start selling off. People are hedged right now. They're not going to start having to sell everything in their entire portfolio. They're not going to get maybe as much margin call activity as you've seen during parts of the sell-off that we've seen. So that'll be some sort of a cushion against an immediate sell-off right here, which gives an idea. And combine that with some seasonality, some positive seasonality in around here. That gives us enough evidence to wonder if we might try to mount at least a short-term bounce. But like you mentioned, we are expecting, after whatever bounce attempt does transpire, we are expecting another down leg to this bear market once that bounce is over. And because from a long-term perspective, and I talked about this on another show this week, from a longer-term perspective, the risk that was embedded in the market at the beginning of the year reach historic levels. And despite the pain that we've seen in the markets and some of the risks come off the table, we've just barely scratched the surface from a historical perspective in terms of removing some of that excess, removing some of that risk from the system. So there will be bounces a long way, but there's a lot more pain to come, we believe, before this down cycle is over.
Dana, I find that so interesting. You're seeing investors as well hedged. I guess that makes sense considering it's been a bear market all year and the main narrative behind this bear market really hasn't changed. Higher inflation that is helping the Fed or forcing the Fed to continue to hike rates Have we seen this environment in the past in other bear markets where investors are this largely hedged? And do you think that that limits washout risk in terms of waterfall declines from the market?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. This is more or less a short-term phenomenon. We've not seen like full-on capitulation. These are hedges. These are not people giving up and throwing their hands up and dumping their entire portfolio. Like I said, this is adding hedges in the short term, which cushions the blow. Like you mentioned, prevents maybe that immediate waterfall type of decline. The other thing it does is if we do get a bounce off of here, off of these the tests of those June lows, we get going a little bit to the upside. All those puts that are on, all that hedging activity that's put on is going to be have to come off. So you're going to see a lot of short covering activity. You're going to see people, especially retail, chasing each other to get out of that, and eventually FOMO will kick in again, and then the cycle will repeat. You know, once they're unhedged for the most part, then they're at risk again for another decline, and that's when the next wave of the selling probably comes in. But in terms of full on capitulation, we haven't seen that, I don't think, and we've talked about this all year. During a true grind you out type of a bear market, you don't really see that capitulation until the end. People, investors tend to think that these are just short term moves down, and once this wave is over, we can start the next bull market. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. It's going to be the case where, you know, you have these shorter term cycles where they hedge at the wrong time. Then FOMO kicks in again, and the wave, the cycle repeats itself. So only after probably, you know, I would say years of this activity will they eventually, you know, throw up their hands, and true capitulation will set. And then you could have maybe the conditions in place for a more sustainable bull market.
Such a great point, Dana, because for a dozen years, all these traders have known is buy the dip. And that's the only strategy that they've deployed. So they still will have that strategy until they finally are broken during the course of the bear market as it plays out. But when you dig into the individual sectors, when you look at things like tech or retail or consumer discretionary, consumer staples, healthcare, does anything stick out to you as a contrarian sector to play for the upside? Or is there anything that looks particularly ugly to you to the downside that you'd be shorting?
Well, from on the long side, if you are looking for those counter trend type of bounces off of the lows, you're going to look for, you know, things that have gotten beat up the most. So in that case, it'd be like tech and consumer discretionary and growth. The tricky thing is, from a longer term perspective, those are the areas that you want to avoid. From a longer term perspective, you're certainly not buying those for any type of relative strength or any type of with the expectation that it's going to be anything but a short term bounce. In terms of true relative strength, we talked about a couple weeks ago, I thought utilities was the one sector that was shaping up for maybe finally one area of the market that might break out and put in a move to new highs. That rug got pulled from under the sector and from us in particular. So right now, I would say no, which is indicative of a true bear market. There's really no place to hide in a real bear market. And I guess energy is probably the strongest, most strongly positioned sector right now. But even that, I don't have much confidence in, you know, putting your money in and expecting any sort of protection if and when the market as a whole does turn lower again. So from right now, everything from our perspective is just more or less of a trade duration, not like an investing type of a scenario.
All right, Dana, let's talk about energy, because look, oil has been a little bit weaker here. It's definitely off of its highs earlier this year, up around 125 a barrel. But look, it is still showing a little bit of strength. It bounced off of right around that 80 level, trading in the more or less mid-80s right now. We continue to hear quite a few bullish calls, especially for oil, but the energy sector broadly. How are you playing this? And do you look down? Do you filter down into some of the oil stock ETFs?
Yes, certainly we do. We'll go anywhere that where there's opportunity. So we've been in some of the oil names throughout the course of the year. Right now, we don't have any oil or energy exposure. We do think commodities started a longer-term bull market over the last year or so. So we do think there's much more upside there. However, it's not like anything. It's not a buy and hold type of scenario for us. In fact, we think there's probably another counter trend move lower. We think we see new lows here below the prior lows over the last few months across the board in the commodity space, including crude oil. So we're not bullish. We'd be still selling rallies in commodities into any strength in the near term, much as we would be in the equity market. So I guess the difference is probably after that next wave down, we'll be more apt to put some money on the long side in commodities than we would be into certainly into equities.
Well, Dana, I guess that would carry over into the metals then, that the way you'd be looking at copper or the precious metals, but still I'd like to get your thoughts on how you see, in particular, the precious metal setup.
Sure, and we've owned gold for most of the year. Had a good line in the sand, we thought, in GLD. Of course, we trade for our clients just ETF, so trading GLD and silver SLV. We've been long gold for most of the year. Our line in the sand was 158.5, and that level broke a couple weeks ago, I believe. Came back, bounced up to test it earlier this month, failed decisively. Now we're pushing new lows again. So right now, I would wait on getting back into gold in GLD until probably down around maybe take another stab at that 147 level. If that doesn't hold, then you're looking at probably, you know, the mid 130s again in GLD. As far as silver is concerned, 1740 was our line for SLV. We took a couple stabs at that, held for a while, couldn't get any upside momentum going, failed there again about a week ago. So we dumped that one. That one's got, we think silver's got downside to low 16s, and SLV maybe, I should say, an SLV. And then if that can't hold, then you're looking at probably 14.5 or so. So and then you have the miners, which have also failed to hold support spectacularly. And actually, we've initiated some shorts in the miner space just this week. If you're looking at GDX, I believe 25.25 was the line that we were hoping would hold. Did not hold. So, you know, when the facts change, so does our investment posture. So that failed there a couple weeks ago or last week. So now we're short GDX, looking for a move down towards about 19.5. Then we'll reassess.
All right, Dana. Wow. Not great news for the precious metals. But again, this is the market that we are dealing with. Continued weakness across the board. Are there any other sectors that you are playing on the long side right now?
Like I said, outside of just short-term trades, not really. You know, we're it's a renter's market right now, and we certainly don't want to overstay our welcome. We get a quick pop in some positions. We're happy to take some profits and looking for. Certainly, there is more upside potential in the short term, but if we fulfill that, like I said, we'll be happy to take profits and remain defensive.
Okay, Dana, really appreciate your comments. Thank you, as always, for sharing your outlook on a wide range of sectors. You have been pretty much spot on throughout this bear market. And even when we were in a bull market about a year ago, and then for that long bull market period, I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this weekend show. And everybody who is tuning in, thank you for spending some of your weekend with us. Chad and I will be back full steam next week. sounds like these markets are going to continue to be fairly weak, but hey, it gives us a lot to talk about trying to make sense of when and where bounces might come from. Dana, again, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
All right. Take care, guys.